This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Thursday, the new Friday, March 28th, and today's pod is the best one yet. It's a T-boy.
The top three pop business news stories you need to know today.
I'm sorry, Jack. Checking the calendars over here. Markets are closed tomorrow for Good Friday.
Well, you know what? This pod's closed tomorrow, too. Today is the last show of the week, so it really is the real Friday.
Thursday is the new Friday, but this Thursday is the real Friday. Okay, this kind of works.
So we made this one the best one yet.
Oh, this is a total T-boy. Jack, first story for today's show. What do we got, man?
For our first story, it's Robinhood. Robinhood stock has doubled this year, and they just launched their first credit card.
Because Robinhood's business model is actually simple. Don't double dip.
For our second story, it's Pepsi. Pepsi is graduating Flamin' Hot from a flavor to its own brand, just like Doritos or Cheetos.
But Flamin' Hot may also be the most controversial flavor on Wall Street.
And our third and final story. What's the one most guaranteed investment your business can make right now? Paid childcare.
Boston Consulting Group just revealed that childcare isn't a cost. Childcare is a productivity puppy.
But before we hit that wonderful mix of stories, Yetis.
What a mix to go into a three-day weekend with. Love the mix.
Forget about the Bitcoin bounce you're seeing on, like, your X feed.
Poco is the new crypto. What do we got, Jack?
Seriously, Bitcoin is up 20% in the last month. That's pretty good. But chocolate prices? They're up 25% in the last month.
All right, besties. Last week, chocolate hit a record $8,000 a ton. But this week, chocolate hit a record $10,000 a ton.
We're talking about cocoa, the crucial bean needed to make chocolate. It is three times more expensive today than it was 1 year ago.
We just read cocoa is more expensive than copper. This is insane, Jack.
And this cocoa catastrophe couldn't come at a worse time. Because Sunday is Easter.
Yeah, it is. If you can't see on the screen right now, Jack just whipped up two ears like a cute little bunny over there.
Check it out on YouTube. Not only am I wearing my buttoned up shirt all the way to the top button for some reason, I also have bunny ears on my head right now.
Which also is a good look. I think we could incorporate this in the show.
So yeah, it is. If you have to buy a big chocolate bunny tomorrow, it's not a good Friday at all.
Because Easter is the number two day of candy consumption after Halloween in the United States.
So with chocolate prices at record high, here's what we're thinking this Easter.
Jack and I think the surprise winner of Easter 2024 is...
Peeps. The humble marshmallow yellow peep thing.
That is, for 71 years, Peeps have been made in the same chocolate-free recipe in the same chocolate-free factories in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
But for the past 20 years, Peeps has been the number two Easter candy nationwide.
Get this, for two decades, DoorDash data shows that Reese's Easter egg is actually the top-selling candy of Easter.
Let's wrap this all up. Could this finally be the year that Peeps beats Reese's Easter eggs?
Yeah, could this finally be the year that a yellow duck-shaped marshmallow dethrones an egg shaped like a peanut butter chocolate?
Who you got, Yetis? Reese's Easter eggs or Peeps?
And don't tell us Cadbury. They're delicious, but they're not in this fight.
Hit us up with your favorite Easter candy at TBoyPod on Instagram.
And in the meantime, happy Good Friday Eve.
And happy Easter Eve Eve Eve.
Oh, he has risen.
We're talking about the Peeps.
What would Peeps do? Jack?
WWPD.
Let's hit our three stories.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea that caused a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show. Start the show.
First, a quick word from our sponsor. Airbnb.
I hosted on Airbnb 9 years ago for the first time, but I'm doing it again this year because I got a trip to France in the summer and a trip to the tropics over Christmas.
All right, Jack, besides those humble brags, both of those trips, what are you going to do with your place, man? What are you doing with it?
For both of those trips, I'm putting my place on Airbnb.
Because now there's an obvious benefit to hosting on Airbnb. It's financial.
I'm putting the money from my Airbnb revenue towards my plane tickets for both of those flights.
All right, so it's incredible. Instead of your place just sitting empty while you're on vacation, you're going to earn a little extra money while you're away. It's a win-win.
Truly. And setting my schedule as a host on Airbnb is so convenient. Airbnb has easy-to-use features that allow me to update my calendar, so I host exactly when I want to host.
Yeah, it is. If you live somewhere you already have an Airbnb, Airbnb it.
Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively. FedEx.
For our first story, Robinhood just jumped because they're going after Apple Card and Amex with a new gold credit card.
Some are asking, how could Robinhood possibly make money off this thing? By single dipping. That's how.
Yetis, look, we all have that points guy in our friend group, right, Jack? Like the credit card calculator guy. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
For us, it was our buddy Timmy, who always insisted on paying for the table's tab for the points.
Okay, and if he didn't pay and you paid for dinner and you didn't use like a Sapphire Reserve Delta Lounge double points card, oh, he would slap you.
And then send you like a unique URL to like win the referral bonus.
You know about the credit card wars going on with your friends. Apple offers 3% cash back on Apple purchases. Amex offers 3% cash back on gasoline.
Visa offers 3% cash back on travel and dining.
Well, Robinhood, the stock trading app, just shockingly launched their first credit card.
And Robinhood is the first credit card we've ever seen that offers 3% cash back on all purchases. It's like 3% off your life.
Now, funny thing we should point out, they say there's no annual fee, but they do charge you $5 a month, which over the course of a year is a $60 annual fee.
Yeah, you got to be a Robinhood Gold member. Still, that is by far the best points to fee ratio of any credit card we've seen.
It's also a gold physical metal card that could like literally cut a pork chop. It is thick.
It's not real gold, is it?
Well, gold's cheaper than chocolate, so maybe, Jack. But this is basically a Patrick Bateman-like card that you're going to like to throw down on the table.
It's unnecessarily heavy. It's like they're compensating.
But Yetis, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. Robinhood stock dropped after its IPO. But yesterday, Robinhood stock jumped 5%. And in the last year, Robinhood stock has more than doubled.
The reason? Robinhood is launching again.
Robinhood's launching. Look, Jack and I love to tell you, Yetis, A-B-L-E, always be launching everything.
We actually learned that from the Robinhood co-founders, Vlad and Baiju.
Jack and I worked at Robinhood for 3 years after selling our first company to them, and Robinhood's co-founders were all about launching. Just get the products out there, make customers happy. That's key.
Now, after the GameStop meme stock crisis, Robinhood didn't launch anything for about a couple years.
There was like 2 years where Robinhood stopped launching things, and that was one reason why the stock didn't go anywhere.
But last year, Robinhood started launching again, and Wall Street has rewarded it.
Last year, Robinhood launched individual retirement accounts.
In October, they launched a jersey sponsorship with the NBA's Washington Wizards.
And then Robinhood acquired a credit card company, and 8 months later, just launched a credit card.
And guess what? That credit card has a Robinhood travel center where you can redeem your points for like hotels and flights through Robinhood.
Compared to the other credit cards, you can then reinvest the points into stocks because it's also a brokerage company.
That's a nice little differentiator.
Look, Yetis, Robinhood's founders always used to tell us, always be launching.
Well, guess what? Robinhood's launching again.
And we can see it in the stock price. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies over at Robinhood?
Finance loves to double dip. Robinhood is happy single dipping.
Now, Yetis, before we worked at Robinhood, before entrepreneurship, Jack and I worked at big banks. And we noticed that the business model of banks depends on double dipping.
Double dipping. When a company offers one product that generates two revenue streams.
Well, Robinhood's original innovation was ditching one of those dips. Robinhood would make money one way, but not two ways on the same product.
For example, stock trading. Banks and brokerage houses, they would charge both a commission fee and collect revenue on the back end with something called payment for order flow.
Yeah, your typical bank, it's double dipping. It's making revenue two ways.
But Robinhood single dipped. They ended the commission fee and just made money one way when it came to stock trading.
That's what we think is interesting about this credit card. Robinhood's doing the same thing, same business model. It's not double dipping, it's single dipping.
But dropping the annual fee and just making money on merchant fees each time you swipe that card.
So yeah, it is Robinhood's business model of single dipping. It means they'll make less profit per customer.
But it could also mean more customers overall, because customers hate fees.
Yeah, when you look at the finance industry, finance loves to double dip. But Robinhood is happy single dipping.
For our second story, Pepsi's Flamin' Hot Spice is the most controversial flavor in the entire country right now.
So Pepsi is doubling down. They're turning Flamin' Hot into its own brand, like Doritos, Cheetos, or Fritos.
Jack, you know who's been munching on some Flamin' Hot because they've got an index finger that is permanently stained.
There's evidence everywhere. That red powder that looks like an infrared, like, light bulb.
Pro tip, you got to use chopsticks if you're eating Flamin' Hot Doritos.
I don't know about that, but yeah, it's actually a good idea. Flamin' Hot was actually invented by Frito-Lays, which is owned by Pepsi, way back in 1989.
This powdery, chili, spicy flavor, it is aggressively red. It's like a heartburn in a seasoning.
And they don't sprinkle this flavor onto Cheetos and other chips. They shellac those Cheetos with Flamin' Hot flavor.
It's kind of like when you see those planes that are trying to put out fires, Jack, and they like drop that material. That's Flamin' Hot, I think.
And when it comes to spicy snacks, nothing is bigger than Flamin' Hot.
Get this. Flamin' Hot did $3 billion in sales last year. Jack, can you sprinkle on some context for us? Literally.
That's the same revenue as Crocs, the shoe company, or Match, the dating company, or WeWork, the bankrupt company.
It's also like way more than Sriracha. And yet, these Flamin' Hot sales, they have never been more.
Just say it.
I mean, Flamin' Hot. Flamin' Hot sales are up 31% in the last year. Not too shabby.
Flamin' Hot is the only hot, spicy flavor that's inspired rap songs.
Can't say that, Cholula.
Well, here's the news. PepsiCo is graduating Flamin' Hot from a flavor, typically on Cheetos, to its own brand. And it's applying that brand and flavor to 25 different snacks.
But yeah, here's what's shocking about this story, even though all of that was pretty shocking too. Flamin' Hot may be the most controversial food since the turducken.
That's right. Because first, Flamin' Hot may get banned in the state of California, no joke. Because remember the aggressively red color we referred to earlier? That's an artificial dye known as Red 3. Some scientific studies show that that additive, Red 3, has a harmful effect on child development. So California might ban it.
So maybe gone forever. They have no more Flamin' Hots in California.
Unless Flamin' Hot just removes the Red 3. It just says regular colored Flamin' Hot.
Flamin' Hot was yellow the whole time. But that's not the only controversy facing Flamin' Hot right now, is it, Jack?
No. Flamin' Hot is the only flavor we know of that has its own Hollywood movie.
Flamin' Hot, the origin story. It's on Hulu right now. It came out last year. It's a great movie directed by Eva Longoria.
It's a feel-good tale of a man named Richard Montañez, who used to be a janitor and actually came up with this recipe in the first place.
Well, according to the movie, Richard convinced the Pepsi executives that they were ignoring the Hispanic market and they should make a bet on his personal Flamin' Hot recipe.
So Pepsi hired that man, made him an executive, and they both went on happily ever after.
But according to the Los Angeles Times recent investigation, he made all that up.
Apparently, Richard Montañez's memoir has been debunked.
Actually, it turns out Flamin' Hot was developed by Pepsi in typical corporate style.
A basic collaboration between MBAs and food engineers.
A bunch of business school students basically came up with this flavor and then tested it in the Midwest and then scaled it nationwide.
Way less romantic.
So yeah, it is. Flamin' Hot has a debunked origin story and it's so red that it may get banned in the state of California.
But for Flamin' Hot, any press has been good press.
And it's been pumping sales to record highs. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Flamin' Hot?
Pepsi's greatest skill is letting its winners ride.
Yeah, it is. Last year, Jack and I covered a story about Pepsi paying $6 billion for a Super Bowl ad, but for their Gatorade brand, not for their Pepsi soda.
Because Pepsi noticed that any product with the Gatorade logo was booming. So they expanded the Gatorade brand onto a wide range of other nutritional products and drinks.
They let their winner ride. Well, now Pepsi is doing the same thing with Flamin' Hot.
They're literally sticking the Flamin' Hot logo and flavor onto 25 different products and making Flamin' Hot its own brand.
Pepsi's not trying to create entirely new brands, new flavors, new products, and just throw stuff out on the market that's all different.
Instead, Pepsi's focusing on a proven winner and building a whole line of products off that back.
Flamin' Hot sales are up 31% to over $3 billion. Jack, let that winner ride. Now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Today's show is sponsored by Acura.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura.
And now it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet.
Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own.
Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
For our third and final story, Boston Consulting Group just shared the best investment a company can make, and that investment is childcare.
Because the cost of childcare is clear, but we just found the ROI of childcare.
All right, it is Nick and Jack here. Full disclosure, we both have new little kiddos right now, and those kiddos are a full-time job, aren't they, Jack?
Yeah, that's why for young parents like Nick and me, one of the best benefits your employer can offer you is paid childcare.
Jack, our little Maxie had a fever yesterday. Both Molly and I had to leave work at some point to kind of help out with that.
Wouldn't it have been incredible if Molly's office or where you work had a childcare center on site? That'd be unbelievably convenient.
Like right in this podcast studio. We just stick them right over there. I got to talk to us about that.
But that dream Nick and I just described is true for only 12% of American workers who have access to paid childcare from their employer.
And worse yet, it falls to 6% for part-timers and those in the lowest income bracket who would benefit the most from having childcare.
But a study published yesterday by Boston Consulting Group and an organization called Moms First could increase both of those percentages.
Because Boston Consulting Group just calculated that childcare actually pays for itself and then some.
Nick and I jumped in T-boy style to our first ever daycare data.
Yeah, daycare data. Yeah. This study, it looked at five different companies that offer childcare, including UPS, Steamboat, Etsy, like legit companies that are doing this right now.
And these companies offer different forms of childcare.
Right. They're like three different forms, right, Jack?
Right. Some offered stipends, some offered on-site childcare at the office, and others offered backup childcare for if your regular childcare falls through.
Now, all three of those help with the cost of childcare or the access to childcare for those employees.
Now, here's the really interesting part. Boston Consulting Group calculated the benefits to the company of having that childcare by interviewing the employees who benefited from them.
For example, they went over to UPS, where they've been testing on-site emergency daycare for hourly workers at one of their sites. And what did they find, Jack?
Boston Consulting Group found that at UPS, there were three fewer employee absences per day thanks to that childcare.
Or another example, they went over to Etsy, which is offering $4,000 a year to reimburse their employees who need backup childcare. And what did they find, Jack?
They found that 79% of Etsy employees say that childcare perk is one reason they continue to work at Etsy.
Okay, then this is wild. They went over to a company called Steamboat that went the furthest with childcare we've ever seen.
Steamboat is a ski resort in Colorado. They opened up an entire childcare center at the resort for their employees who had kids.
They basically opened up a hotel for the kids.
And the employees loved it. They reported, on average, 13 avoided absences per year because their kids were right there and they were taken care of.
So Yeti's added all up, literally, and here are the numbers on the investment in childcare.
Here's the hero stat. For each $1 spent on childcare by these companies, they received benefits of between 90 cents and $4.25.
Yetis, what we're saying here is that spending $1 on childcare resulted in up to $4.25 in productivity gains and employee retention.
This study flips the idea of paid childcare upside down.
Besties, childcare, it isn't a cost center. Childcare is actually a productivity booster.
Childcare is like a magic pill that makes all your workers more loyal to the company and more productive at work.
And you don't even have to open up a separate hotel for kids to do it.
But Nick, that hotel pays for itself.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies who are anyone at a company with people with kids?
Paid childcare isn't a cost. Paid childcare is an investment.
Yetis, the way Jack and I see it, the challenge with paid childcare is that the present cost is so much more calculable than the future benefit.
But to become an investor, It requires that you believe in or can calculate those future benefits.
Now, this study, it wasn't perfect. It only looked at companies that were already offering childcare.
And they interviewed employees who have an incentive to say how great the childcare they're getting is and how great it is for their performance.
But it does aim to achieve something crucial. It helps us understand the future benefit.
It helps companies see that childcare isn't a cost. It's an investment in the company's performance.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us for our last pod of the week?
Robinhood just launched its first credit card as its stock has more than doubled in the past year.
Robinhood's business model, single dip, while the rest of finance double dips.
For our second story, it's PepsiCo. They're graduating their controversial Flamin' Hot from a flavor to a brand.
It's like they say in horse racing, let your winners ride.
And our third and final story, BCG. Just calculated that for each dollar spent by companies on childcare, they receive up to $4.25 in benefits.
They just showed that childcare isn't a cost. Childcare is an investment.
But Yetis, this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, the economic impact of the Baltimore Bridge collapse may not be as bad as initially feared.
The port is expected to reopen in just 6 weeks.
Meanwhile, ships are being diverted to nearby Norfolk and Newark, and President Biden is seeking federal funds to rebuild the bridge.
But the city of Baltimore is still mourning the 6 construction workers who passed away as a result.
And second, last week it was baseball star Shohei Ohtani, but now another sports gambling scandal has just sprung up.
It appears the Toronto Raptors forward Jonte Porter may have made a prop bet on himself and then taking himself out of the game in order to win that bet he made on himself.
Ooh, Yetis, the leagues went from 0 to 60 in embracing sports betting, and maybe, just maybe, they went a little too fast.
And finally, Beyonce's latest album drops tomorrow on Good Friday.
Stock markets are closed, but Cowboy Carter is open for business.
Beyonce declared last week, "This ain't no country album." But her song Texas Hold'em did hit number 1 on the country music charts.
Jack, next season of Yellowstone, pretty sure Beyonce's going to be in.
Good call.
Now time for the best fact yet. This one sent in by John Young from lovely Mansfield, Texas.
Trivia. How do African elephants walk?
Well, it turns out African elephants walk by tiptoeing on their toes.
They walk on their tippy toes.
Even though they're huge, they're so big, and yet they tiptoe on their toes because a large fat pad is in their foot, and it forces the elephants to basically walk on their toes.
To technically walk on their toes, yeah.
If you say, hey, Nick and Jack, I saw an elephant not walking on its toes, that was probably an Indian elephant.
Nice try.
That's good.
We ain't putting out no correction on this fact.
Yetis, you looked fantastic for this 4-day week. Jack and I are going to miss you tomorrow. But remember, hit us up at T-Boy Pod and let us know who is going to be the number one candy this year. Will chocolate Reese's peanut butter cups finally get beaten?
My money's on Peeps. See? Gambling. It's out of control.
And by the way, if you haven't yet, subscribe to our weekly newsletter, because if you miss us tomorrow, you can hang with us over the weekend. Jack and I have a newsletter that goes out every Saturday.
You can subscribe at tboypod.com/newsletter.
And if you get engaged this weekend, remember, don't put a diamond ring on her finger. Put a butterfinger on her finger. It's almost as valuable. Jack and I will see you Monday.
Love lasts forever, but don't leave it out in the sun.
And before we go, a happy birthday to Yeti Mitchell Walter, who's running 28 kilometers for his 28th birthday in Vancouver, Canuck, Canada.
And a double happy birthday to Emily and Rebecca, two fantastic twins turning 22 in Orlando, Florida.
And a happy birthday to Nick Goodner, the Super Yeti, who's hanging out with some amazing Instagram posts down in Orlando, Florida.
And a big happy birthday to Mike the Funny Man Panzer down in Washington, D.C.
And Pavel Laskowski is turning 15 years old. Enjoy and celebrate that birthday in Dayton, New Jersey, Pavel.
And a big happy birthday to South Burlington's finest, Zach Daddy Smith. Up here in Vermont.
Is that your nickname for him?
Zach Daddy? No, I don't know Zach yet.
And Raina McConnell is turning 25 while walking the Camino de Santiago Trail with her mom. That's a fantastic birthday.
Happy birthday to Paige Bosconcillo, who's celebrating her birthday with wine tasting in beautiful Carmel.
And Daniel Maldonado is turning 32 years old over in Queens, New York. Happy birthday, Daniel.
Big shout out to Daniel M., who's celebrating her birthday and we'll be at our live New York City show on April 24th.
We'll see you there, Danny. And Michael Contini is turning 41 years old at Smuggler's Notch.
Right here in Vermont.
They ski hard at the Notch.
I don't know Michael, yet.
And Marin Sar Javier is feeling loved for his birthday down in Houston, Texas.
Happy birthday to Catherine McCormick in Atlanta, Georgia.
And Lisa Leslie and Justin Chapman are celebrating a birthday together at the Westside Market in Cleveland, Ohio.
Happy birthday and 50th anniversary of the family business to Andrea Langston.
The WDKX radio station is one of the last black-owned independent radio stations in the country. Keep it going, Andrea.
WDKX.
And Joe LeBrum is graduating from Naval Postgraduate School in California. Congratulations, Joe.
Happy 8 years together to Ben and Kara Enos in Nashville, Tennessee.
And Grand and Judy McKenzie have got a 50-year anniversary in Phoenix. Happy 50th, guys.
Huge congratulations to Zach Lamb, who just became debt-free at the age of 30 in Hawaii. This is Jack. I own stock of Crocs, and Nick and I both own stock of Apple and Robinhood. And we both own one Bitcoin, whose name is Ben. If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Nick and Jack here. Want to quickly tell you about the show Business Wars.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman.
From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world.
Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more, Wondery means business.